This is the Day Zero update for January 21st, 2018. I'm Filippo D'Adolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Filoge.
And I'm Denra Victoria.
And if it wasn't for the release of Street Fighter V Arcade Edition this week, we might not even have bothered doing a show, because it was a really slow week otherwise.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, AE did come out, so we will be talking about that quite a bit today. I noticed that, like, three of us have that on our now playing list, so we're just going to let's save that to till we get to the actual topic of the show. So, yeah, there's probably going to be some good discussion there. So, beyond that, Pat, what else have you been playing other than AE?
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Along the same line.
Along the very same line. Still a fantastic game. Still holds up to this day. I took part in Friday night's Downright Fierce stream over on Undead Kaiju's Twitch channel and had probably the best night I've had playing Street Fighter in years. It's just so fun to get back into playing Super Turbo with a bunch of people who know what they're doing. And I haven't had anything that even remotely resembled that since HD Remix came out. So, but you know, this being authentic Super Turbo, I mean, there's just no replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a blast, and I'll be making every effort to take place in tomorrow night's Monday Night Fightcade event. Because that's been a thing for a while, and I haven't been around for it, so
that
is a situation that needs to be amended. Yeah. So, looking forward to that. But other than that, it's just been AE. That's been my week.
Yeah. All right, Brandon.
Jade Empire. I went on GOG and I got it for my computer. Jade Empire, for maybe a handful of people who didn't play it back when it came out. It was the first original IP from BioWare that wasn't related to either Dungeons and Dragons or Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically sort of like a action RPG. It takes place in a sort of kung fu wuxia fantasy world. You know, it's loaded with its sort of unique, sort of alternative Chinese fantasy type stuff, with a little bit of Japan and Korea thrown in for good measure.
Yeah,
there was a very Mortal Kombat flavor on it.
Yeah, and it's a BioWare game, so you know what to expect.
Yeah.
Also, John Cleese makes a small cameo in there if you know where to look for him.
Yeah, that game was criminally underrated, I found.
Yeah.
It was passed over by a lot of people, and I think people should give it another look, because it's a really great game.
It is, and also you can get a lot of mileage out of it, too.
It's a BioWare game.
Yeah, because much as like it's it actually plays a lot more like KOTOR than it does Mass Effect. So, because it was sort of in that
era,
that sort of middle ground between before, you know, BioWare went completely independent and started doing their own IPs. So there's still bits and pieces of KOTOR still in there. Then, of course, on occasion, there's the top-down shooter parts that you have to go through, which those are fine little diversions. But they're not really, there's not a whole lot of substance to it. That's pretty much been me. So, Chris?
So, there's a sale going on the Xbox, and I picked up Soda Drinker Pro. That's on sale, and that is a weird little dumb game. Okay. Kind of bad. The visuals and the interface and all that is Microsoft Paint level a lot of the time. It's really weird thing. It tries to present itself as a soda drinking simulation. You're drinking sodas while you're exploring these weird little environments. But then there are some other weird twists it has to it that you can find that are hidden around. I know where the one is. I haven't gotten to it yet. But I've been playing a little bit of that, and it's just a weird, stupid little thing. It's on sale for $2.50, normally $5, so it's not super graphically or monetarily, you know, hard to purchase, but it's a weird, stupid little thing, and I'm looking forward to playing some more of it. It's like the complete opposite of what you want to play on an Xbox One X.
That seems to be like a trend now. People like finding the dumbest possible games to play on their new 4K console.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely not pushing anything.
Yeah.
It's also
the console thinks it's in sleep mode,
basically.
Yeah, it could be. It also has Kinect support in it. I guess you could mime the act of drinking a soda to control it. Obviously I can't try it, but that's like the sort of dumb little thing it does.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's been a little neat thing I've been playing. Also been playing some more classic stuff. It's on PS4, Ape Escape 2, which is one of their PS2 classics that are on there. That is the European version of it.
Hmm.
So,
any particular reason why they went with that version?
They did not localize it for America. Sony did.
Huh.
Ubisoft did it.
Yeah.
I think Sony Europe did localize it, so they went with that version, which means everybody speaks with a British accent.
Hmm.
Which
that's fine.
Yeah, it fucks with my memory of the game, because I remember them being kind of typical anime VO.
Yeah.
Kind of voice acting. So now everybody has a British accent. It's just a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, you're a kid, and you're like, hey, what's up? Oh, shit. And it's a little weird, but the game itself still plays really well. I beat the first boss. Has a couple of the first few gadgets, which one's the radar. Then there's like the weird speed hula hoop, which he sort of kind of does the hula hoop, and it charges it up, and then it lets you like run around real fast.
Hmm.
Which for the level that it's introduced in is necessary to run along these sloped loop rooftops.
Hmm.
It's trying to get to the non-sloped parts, which then you use to beat the boss as you just run it right into him and knock him out until he eventually is able to be captured. Also weird hearing monkeys speak, besides the main one, the Spectre.
Yeah.
He has like the Freaky Five, I think it is, monkeys that he's working with that are like the main bosses you'll face. The first one is kind of like a skateboard bro, a little bit. And the whole basis of that boss fight is just having these traffic lights up that try to block your ability to go across the paths. They're kind of like street crossings. It's pretty weird, but it's pretty easy to beat. I also played Loco Roco Remastered, which is part of the flash sale that's going on this weekend. That was $5. And that game is real good. It's a really good platformer with one of the best soundtracks around. Just super kind of positive game. Even though it's kind of about pollution of the earth. It's very kind of a Earth Day kind of game. But yeah, I really like the music to it, especially when you have to split up the Loco Roco into smaller ones. And they have to just sit there and they just start singing along to the song that's playing around in the background. Or do their own thing for some parts, and it'll play that song through the speaker on the controller, which is pretty cool. It also has a tilt support for the gyro on controller, so you can use that, which works pretty well. I ended up just turning it off because I didn't really want to mess around with that. Just wanted to do the just do the normal platforming with the shoulder buttons. That's been kind of mostly it. I played this thing called Universal Paperclips. That's real weird.
I told you about that.
Yeah, I finally got around to starting it up, and I don't know where it's going yet.
Well, it's going somewhere.
I got like solar farms. I did the investing stuff. It's weird. I got drones. It's weird. Yeah, that's been a nice little thing to just have on in the background. Just come back to it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Dan Rip?
Yeah, not much. I've been cycling through my PSN lists looking for a game to play, and it was down to Wolfenstein The New Order, the Horizon Zero Dawn DLC, Assassin's Creed Origins, or Undertale. So I looked them up on howlongtobeat.com, and Undertale was 6.5 hours, so I was like, okay, let's go ahead and do that. This is like my third attempt at trying to get into this game, but this might be the charm, because it's on PlayStation. I don't have to fall asleep in front of my laptop, so this could be it. I've gotten to the part where I've met Papyrus, so hopefully I get further down the line. But I think this is the playthrough where I'm really understanding it for what it is now. Before, I was just attacking. I didn't realize what I was doing. And at the same time, it feels harder because this actually isn't the furthest I've gotten to the game, but I didn't die when I was playing it on PC. I've died like twice during this playthrough. So, yeah, it's a whole lot funner than how it used to be, and I hope to actually finish it. I also have another game that I can't talk about because I'm on embargo. But yeah.
Well, I think you can talk about the fact that you have it. I don't think you can talk about specifics of it.
Okay. Well. Yeah, it's the new Zwei, which is a predecessor to the other Zwei game we got last year. So yeah, that's about it.
Hmm. All right, so that's it for us for this week. So let's get into our short bits for this week. A couple of delays to announce. We Happy Few is again being delayed until the summer of this year. It is getting a second playable character though, so. Yay? At this point, I'm not sure who is really still interested in this game.
Yeah.
It's gotten so many delays, so many controversies with the fact that it's basically turned into a AAA crud fest. Yeah, it's looking like the game may still be very good, but I don't care no more.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest crashes I've seen from like the E3 trailers to... Hey, it's out in early access too. It's like, oh, I thought this was like gonna be like BioShock or something like that.
Yeah, it's just
like, it's just survival thing.
Game. There's like 4 billion of those on Steam. So yeah. So you won't get that until the summer. If you still care, well, mark your calenders.
How long has it been in early access? Because I know I've seen it on my Xbox One dashboard for a while.
2 years.
I fired it up like, yeah, it's. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. 2 years, and it's been even longer than that on the PC. So, yeah. So, that's a thing.
It's a shame. Contrast was great. So.
Yeah. So, that's unfortunate. And if you were waiting for a PC version of East 8, you're going to continue to wait because that's been delayed indefinitely.
With the retranslation.
Yeah, my thinking on that is they're going to do the retranslation and then release it after that. So whenever the heck that gets done, that's probably when you'll see the PC version.
Yeah, just but get it on PS4 or we'll wait for Switch.
Get it on PS4. It's a great game still. Translation might be a little bit wonky, but they're going to fix that. Another news, the Netflix Castlevania series has been renewed. We kind of knew it would have been.
Yeah, we knew it was getting a second season of 8 episodes. We just weren't sure exactly when.
Yeah. It's coming out this summer. Those 8 episodes are probably going to be pretty brutal. So I'm looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the first season. And, you know, I typically don't really watch much animated content these days, but this I enjoyed, so yeah, can't wait to see more of that.
The first season was like 4 episodes, right?
Yeah, it was very easy to get through. It was like,
yeah, you can finish it. This in another one sitting.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. This week Nintendo also announced Labo, a piece of cardboard that you do stuff with.
Yeah, I knew when they used the words new interactive experience that this was something that I was pretty safe ignoring, and they proved me right. So,
yeah. I actually think this is a pretty cool thing. As a kid, I played with stuff like Kinects. That was all about sort of fitting these pieces together and building cool little actual kind of mechanical things.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're doing here with a lot of this stuff. There are ways to build, you know, functioning, like a piano, a little mini piano that uses the IR camera on one of the Joy-Cons, and you put reflexive tape on the other side of the keys.
Yeah,
and it's able to sense that as you push it,
yep,
and know which part's pushing it, and be able to figure out what keys to play and that sort of stuff. And it's really well designed stuff. Yeah. It seems.
Can do like,
I will,
you know,
give them credit.
And...
yeah, I will give them credit if they can market this in just the right way. They'll be on to something here.
Yeah, it's very much part of that sort of maker thing.
Mm-hmm.
With 3D printers, cosplay, all this sort of stuff. That would be very good for kids,
mm-hmm.
Especially as a good like STEM introductory tool.
I like
how Brandon mentions the marketing here, because the marketing Nintendo is doing now, as compared to like 5 years ago, is tremendous. I mean, we can say what we want about how weird the Labo is, but it's when Nintendo is taking these chances that they seem to be at their best.
Well, I mean, that's kind of Nintendo's sort of MO, isn't it? They've, as far as the gaming, the gaming industry is, everybody else goes right, Nintendo's goes left. That's just always sort of been their kind, the way they operate.
Yeah, I mean, it also answers a few questions we already had, like the IR cameras on the Joy-Cons. Like for me, I never even really understood why the Joy-Cons were called Joy-Cons in the first place, and all of a sudden they show off this all this cardboard stuff, and they're called Toy-Cons. I'm like, okay, that all makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then to tie it all up, they're going to release it on a Weed Day. So, yeah, good job, Nintendo.
Yeah, $69 released 420.
Nice.
So, okay, I'm sure that was probably deliberate.
Yeah, like that was the first thing that actually got me laughing as soon as I heard about this. I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is probably going to do super well for Nintendo. It's, I think they know exactly who they're aiming at, and they're going to hit that market. It's definitely parents who want to get their kids into, this kind of maker movement, want something a little bit simpler than giving their kid a soldering iron that they can burn themselves with.
Yeah, it's getting kids to, get into crafting, getting that creativity kickstarted. If this does well, I won't be surprised seeing competitions or, we'll start seeing stuff on YouTube with people making like really elaborate stuff with Labo. It'll
The day that it was announced, Nintendo also put out these links for people to try it out on a tour in New York and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So I tried, and then it was like, oh, cool. How many kids will you be bringing? I don't have any, so I guess I won't be going to this.
You tell them one, that includes yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Oh, did it have to be a positive integer?
Exactly. It's crazy considering we have a lot of Silicon Valley nerds interested in cryptocurrency while Nintendo is going to make a killing on cardboard.
So. Totally. Anyways.
Yeah, one of the cool things I saw is while you're putting together like the piano, the tablet is actually showing you the different steps and letting you sort of fine-tune things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's able to sort of tell what you're doing a little bit and sort of lets you see sort of how each step is adding new things to it.
Yeah.
Seeing like the finer details of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really cool design for that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for what I've seen of it, this isn't half-assed. This was really well thought out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I want to know who it was in Nintendo that came up with this idea, because... Yeah.
There was a roundtable discussion a few years ago with Iwata talking about it, but yeah, this is fully fleshed out now. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll look forward to more of that. They said they're coming out with two kits initially, and then they're going to add more toy cons as time goes by. So,
yeah. So those kids are walk out in the rain or step on them. Yeah, they'll buy more.
Yeah. So. And finally, new Final Fantasy XIV update coming later this month, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's new here?
Oh,
just about everything.
Yeah, I've not been as in the loop as I should be at the moment, just with everything else going on. But everything that I've seen has me pretty excited for it. It looks like there's going to be some more... old school, particularly Final Fantasy VI content coming, and so that's always nice to see. Yeah,
the ghost train is one of the bosses in either the raid or the dungeons,
and the painting.
The ghost train from Final Fantasy VI.
Yep. Yeah.
Which are we going to have the option to suplex it?
No.
Fuck, I hope so.
I don't know why you wouldn't do that. That's half
or
the
body slam. I can't remember. Was it a suplex or a pile driver? It's been a while since I played.
Yeah.
But, all I know, it was ridiculous wrestling move that should not be possible on a machine that size.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing like that in Final Fantasy XIV, so...
Unfortunately.
Not a 10, worst game of the year.
No. But
yeah, I think there's hint to Kefka being in there as well.
That would be interesting.
I think the trailer they put out hints at like the final boss also being in there. So the site also mentions subaquatic voyages.
Well, it's already
build that with your company.
Yeah, you can already swim and Stormblood.
That was a Stormblood edition.
Yeah,
the submersible stuff isn't new.
No,
that was a Stormblood thing.
Yeah,
maybe this is about recent updates or something like that.
So, good update coming. Probably another few gigabytes of download, so enjoy your bandwidth.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get on to our main topics of the day, and well, we kind of have to start with this one, because of course it would happen. We know about Blizzard's Overwatch League, which is called mm-hmm. Overwatch League, just so you guys know.
As you do.
Yeah. One of their players for the, the Houston Fuel or something?
It was the Dallas.
Dallas Fuel.
Dallas Fuel, yeah.
Anyway, Felix Langvin, I know I butchered that last name, but he apparently made some rather racist comments on
the live stream. It was homophobic comments, actually.
Homophobic?
It was... I can't remember which player it was, but yeah, he said, apparently it was meant to just be like, gamer trash talking, but problem is it goes against the contract. It goes against the contract that he signed because Overwatch League is trying to be actual league, and part of being an actual league is sportsmanship. So,
and with that in mind, he got a $2,000 fine and a 2-month suspension.
Yep.
So, actual consequences for things that you do. So,
yeah, Activision Blizzard is showing they are not screwing around when they come to this stuff.
No. If you want to take... If esports is going to be taken seriously, the players have to start taking it seriously. So,
yep. Yeah.
It's not just in... Personally, I think that a real names policy should be something that they implement, but that's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I think that ship has kind of sailed, unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
and I think it was, if you go on, any gaming site talking about this, you'll get all the little edgelords going, hey, SJWs, hurt your Fifis, Snowflake. No, this is professional sports, and part of being a pro, for lack of a better word, athlete, is that you have to abide by a certain code of sportsmanship.
Yeah.
And this does not... This is not sportsmanlike conduct.
No. So,
if you want to go pro, you need to leave all that childish shit at the door.
Yeah. And we're going to see more of this, because, quite frankly, it's going to take a lot of time to unlearn this kind of behavior.
Yes.
You know what? I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah.
Let the purge begin. Let the blood flow. I am... This shit is the reason why I don't do competitive gaming in the first place.
Yeah. So, let's let those growing pains happen, because it's going to be pretty painful for the first couple of years.
If we got to beat it out of them, we'll beat it out of them.
Yeah. And if more leagues start adapting this kind of a practice, that it's just going to become the norm. So.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it for that. In other news, I think this is borderlining on the ridiculous, but okay. 50 Cent apparently has ideas for a new game.
Yeah, for those who don't remember, back in the, I think it was the old PS2, PS3 days, 50
had a couple.
He had a couple. He had one on the Xbox, that was 50 Cent Bulletproof, and then there was one on the 360 called Blood on the Sand.
Yeah, Bulletproof is the one I'm thinking of. Because apparently he is bulletproof. The dude got shot 9 times and still walked away from it.
Yeah.
But for those who don't remember, that game ended up being really fun in spite of its really stupid premise.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the 50 Cent games. They weren't great, but they weren't terrible either. It's like they were just dumb fun, and I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Blood on the Sand had some mechanical issues, but, a lot of shooters back then did, so it wasn't so bad. Apparently he wants to do another game, as long as he can do a unique concept.
Yeah.
And he's thinking of maybe basing it on a show that he's currently working on for Starz, which is called Tomorrow Today. Wherein he developed superpowers in prison after being experimented on by a prison doctor. Okay.
Can we just give this guy a comic book label?
Yeah,
and let him run the whole thing?
Yeah.
Because he could pretty much put Marvel out of business very quickly.
Yeah. I know it sounds like I'm like ragging on him or anything, but...
We're not.
I genuinely want to see where this goes. He's got a lot of talent as a musician. I'm so sure about it as a TV producer. Well, that remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
He does enjoy games. He is a gamer himself, so we'll see. That's Bulletproof 2? No, it won't be that. It'll be something else. So
yeah.
Keep your eye on that. In other news, we have rumors. We usually don't report too much rumors, but this one was worth mentioning because of what happened last year with Fable Legends, and it basically got just shit canned.
Yeah.
Apparently, there is a new Fable title being developed.
Mm,
no,
yeah.
No details whatsoever. Just that it's a thing that may actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who would be developing it, as that team just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and Peter Molyneux's gone off to other pastures, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they won't be getting him back. I mean, right now, the status of Fable is a CCG on Xbox One and Windows.
Pretty much.
So, I would like to see a new proper Fable game.
Don't you think it might end up better without Molyneux on board to overhype it?
Yeah, to be honest, it would, because Molyneux has talent, but he has this tendency of getting just overly ambitious, and then
he expects that everyone is going to love his projects as much as he loves his projects.
Yeah. I mean, he's enthusiastic. I mean, if anything, you can give him that, but he's like I said, he's overly ambitious. Like, this is what happened with the original Fable. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One about, like, he talked about the thing, like, you know, there was going to be multiplayer. And here's the thing. When he announced the multiplayer, guess who didn't know that there was going to be multiplayer?
The
team actually developing the game.
Or Microsoft, for that matter.
Yeah.
And that should have been a fucking
sign. Xbox
Live
was even a thing at that time. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And then, of course, there's all the garbage happening with Godess right now.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
Yeah. So, okay, what else we got here? This one was just added to the lineup, so I have to take us through that because I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Yeah, so Phil Spencer has recently promoted somebody to the head of Microsoft Studios, and it's Matt Booty, who has been running the Minecraft team. Lately, though, if you remember that name, he was at Midway before they shut down. He was sort of helming that whole thing before went down. So he has some good stuff to his portfolio, but this at least starts to address one of the problems we mentioned in our 2018 preview, that Microsoft hasn't been very good at developing a good portfolio of titles beyond their core IPs. And so they got somebody now at the forefront of their whole first-party stuff that will get Phil Spencer away from that stuff, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Let him just focus
on... results are better than no results?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Midway we're talking. Ew.
Yeah. The only thing that's might be a problem is if you get called to his office, is it going to be a booty call? So...
Yep, we had to go there.
Yeah, I went there.
High school had to be hell for this guy.
Yeah. So... at least there's somebody at the helm of Microsoft Studios.
There's a live body there, which may be an upgrade.
Yeah. Keep.
I just think back to why Midway went under in the first place, and I cannot help but worry.
Yeah, well, I think he was like at the helm of a sinking ship, and it's like, okay, do I crash into the iceberg or do I hit the whirlpool?
Yeah. He was there at the final year. He didn't cause the downfall.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like who was the guy that was at THQ like the final year? Who was running Oculus now. He's like one of the top guys at Oculus. Used to be at Naughty Dog. I forget what his name is.
Yeah, my name is escaping me as well. But anyways.
Yeah, so. It's that sort of thing where you put somebody in that can sort of at least guide them through the acquisition phase.
Yeah. So, all right, so we'll move on to this last little bit of discussion, and it is good news for Brandon and myself particularly. Apparently, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be playable at E3, according to a Polish website.
Well, it's from two independent sources. So, those who don't know, last week, after 4 years of silence, the Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter handle actually tweeted something. It wasn't much. It was just a simple beep. That was literally it. And then all of a sudden, everybody started hearing that there's the what's being said is that this year we're not only going to be getting a new actual trailer instead of the what we got the last time, but it's actually going to be playable. Now, it's only going to be playable behind closed doors, but it will actually be a actual thing.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm glad, because let's be honest. I mean, they announced this thing back in 2014, and we haven't heard a damn thing since.
Yeah. Yeah, this is almost kind of typical for CD Projekt Red, though. They don't really hype their games until they've got something to actually show.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising that they even announced it.
Yeah. But they had to do something, because otherwise it would have just looked like the only thing that they had in the can was Gwent.
And apparently there's still like another project they still haven't announced either, so that they're currently working on. Everybody, for those who don't know, Cyberpunk 2077 is based on, I think it's Cyberpunk 2024, which is the
pen and paper game,
kind of the definitive, one of the definitive pieces of cyberpunk culture. And the creator, the designer of that game, is actually working on this game too. I'm hoping that gameplay-wise it won't be overly heavy on the pen and paper aspect, that it'll be a bit closer to The Witcher and in game playing style, just not turn-based or anything.
Yeah.
I'm expecting that this game's going to have a lot of shit in it. And it's probably going.
If it was turn-based, it'd get my attention.
Yeah, and it's probably going to play havoc on your console, because it's probably gonna. Oh, it's probably gonna have a huge chunk of data in it.
Well, this is a CD Projekt Red game, and one thing we know about them is they will destroy hardware. That's just what they do.
Now that they're pretty much through with the Witcher franchise, at least as far as Geralt is concerned, this is pretty much what we can expect from them for the coming foreseeable future.
Yep.
And, I mean, heck, they even kind of sort of mentioned Cyberpunk 2077 in Witcher 3. So,
yeah.
And a weird, wow. Because for those who don't remember, in that particular game, you know, you meet up with Ciri, and Ciri has like world hopping powers.
Yeah.
And Geralt, in one of the conversations you can have with her near the end of the game, Geralt asks, like, "Tell me about one of these universes," and she basically describes the Cyberpunk 2077 universe just in weirdly, you know, medieval quasi terms. So,
yeah. So, well, I can't wait. I want to see what this game is turning into. And
Until June, so.
Yeah, E3, I'm not sure if we're going to have a presence there this year or not, but if we do, this might be one that we can arrange to see. So.
No pressure, Dan Reb.
Anyways.
I've already got my days off for it.
Yeah. Mm. All right, so finally, it's time to talk about AE, because
yes,
that came out this week, and it was a pretty
It's a lot to digest.
Match. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I guess we really should start with the elephant in the room, which is Sakura.
Yeah, we find out why she basically disappears by the time Street Fighter III happens.
That's not all we find out.
Oh, we find out other things, of course. Yeah. But.
So, do we want to get really spoilery, or?
I don't think it's a huge spoiler at this point. If you've been on the internet, you know at least some of it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, the ship has sailed, if you will. They finally addressed the whole Ryu pairing potential, and the answer is not a flat no. So we'll make of that what we will. It's kind of interesting because it was kind of a result of a lot of introspective kind of character development on Sakura's part.
Yeah.
Like, right away in her story mode, she touches on things like, life and progress and, basically her entire relationship with fighting as it has been up to this point in the story, which is, a very logical but interesting direction for her character to take. And then Karin calls Ryu in to just be there as she puts things into perspective. And she more or less confronts him about the issue of having kids. So...
I think it was actually Ryu who kind of brought that up in his own...
In his own weird way, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
I don't think that's what he was thinking of when he said it.
No. He's, like, awkward as fuck, and he's like, wait, what, what?
Because if you haven't figured it out yet, Ryu is dense.
Oh, yes. Extremely dense.
Yeah, so Sakura probably wants kids and probably wants Ryu to have her kids. So also, Karin is kind of a creepy person to set that up in the first place.
Yeah.
Karin is also rich.
Yeah. So
it's kind of her thing.
Yeah. So that's kind of the Sakura thing that we've... It's kind of come to a head in a way. It will certainly advance, I'm sure.
Yeah, one way or another.
Yeah, well, it does leave the door open for, you know, potential new characters to end up emerging at some point, one way or another.
Yeah.
So make of that what you will. Still up Street Fighter VI.
I was going to say, you think this might be how we get the proper new generation of Street Fighters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably where that's leading.
As opposed to the kind of false start we got with Street Fighter 3.
Yeah. I also think this is how we get Alpha 4.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, worth pondering.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. In other element of Arcade Edition is, of course, the arcade mode itself, which...
Oh, boy.
Ooh, there is a
which
lot
is more there. Like six arcade modes in one.
Yes.
Yeah. You got Street Fighter 1, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter 4, and, of course, the Street Fighter 5 arcade mode.
Yep.
Each of these have varying lengths and varying characters that you have access to.
Yeah.
I think the Street Fighter 1 kind of feels a little sparse right now because, Sagat isn't in there, so that's a bit of a problem, but that'll work itself out at the end of Season 3.
Yeah.
I love the presentation of this. It's really an excellent way to do it. I like the way you can switch characters, choose paths. Yeah. Not sure if the paths you choose have any real bearing on what happens, but...
Well, some of them have more fight money than others, so...
There are other endings.
Yeah.
There's like 200 of them total.
Yeah.
So. And it's probably.
And if you go into the collection mode or gallery or whatever they're calling it, it'll tell you the conditions of each hidden ending.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also like additional pieces of artwork you can get to.
Yeah.
Like I played Sakura for the arcade mode, and I got on the Street Fighter V part, and I got incredible piece of artwork by Kazushi Hagiwara, the creator of Bastard. So,
a lot of guest appearances here.
Oh, yeah. They put out all the stops for this.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that sucks is if you actually want to, you know, get any of these artworks out of the game, you have to take some very interesting measures to do it.
Yeah.
Screenshots on the PS4, or if you have an external capture device, you could use that. Probably would be a better idea because you'd get better quality by doing that. So.
Yeah. Some of the artwork I'm kind of surprised about. Rainbow Mika has one that really pushes the boundaries of that T rating, I would say.
Oh, Hagiwara's artwork, pretty much. Well, let me just show you.
I'm not talking about Hagiwara. Hmm.
I know. I'm talking about... I know you're talking about the Rainbow Mika's stuff.
Yeah.
But let's see if I can put it in here.
But
just lots of things a jiggling. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And did you notice someone in there that doesn't seem to belong? You notice somebody there that hasn't appeared yet?
You can't see.
Look closely.
Yeah, I can't make that out.
Elena?
Yeah, Elena. Elena's in there. What does that make you think? That Elena may be coming?
Maybe.
Well, she's been popping in and out of the story modes, you know, for the entirety of Street Fighter V. So eventually, she's going to have to show up sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's weird here is that she's probably, if you look at the pic I've got, this is probably her kind of overdressed.
Yeah.
So. Is there anything really else to say about the arcade mode itself other than, well, the fact that it probably really should have been there to start with? It really kind of rounds out the entire product, I think. It makes it feel a lot more like a fleshed-out game.
Well, so. On top of that, you get like some good like shout-outs and Easter eggs as far as like you know, arenas that you can fight in and soundtrack stuff as well.
Yeah, I do like that all of the DLC purchasable stuff that is in the store is fully open in the arcade mode. You'll just end up on it.
Yeah.
So that's nice. You know, it's like you can't select it if you're as your favorites or do it in fights and versus mode or whatnot unless you've purchased it, but. It's nice to see that they didn't limit themselves or you to the stages that you have in the arcade mode, because that would just end up being kind of bland in the end. So
yeah. Also, I don't remember if this was in the original release or not, but I love the fact that if you're fighting and you've got your opponent cornered, you can basically put them through the wall.
Yeah, that was in the original. Yeah.
They've just expanded it to more stages.
Yeah. Yep. Something funny about fighting Balrog in Chaotic City and then him suddenly having a plastic hot dog on his head. It's just...
Yep. That's a thing that happens. So, and then there's the just overall presentation of the game, which I'm finding...
They've stepped it up.
There's still some rough edges. Those dialogue box texts are really hard to read.
Yeah, they are. The writing's really small. I won't lie.
They made that kind of hard to read. It's like they just took the original dialogue boxes and like switched the colors. But the problem is when they did that, they didn't up the size of the font or maybe made it thicker.
Mm-hmm.
So that little black text doesn't stand out very much on the white background. So that's kind of irritating. That's probably something that if they get enough pushback on, they might end up fixing, because I can't imagine that would be too hard to fix.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
I will say that I prefer the original versus screen to the current one.
Yeah, that's... But, you know, you kind of understand why they changed it, because that original screen kind of stylistically fit in with the... whole character select screen and
yeah
but what else should I point out there? Well, you know, new HUD, so that's a thing.
Yeah,
much easier to read life bars, I don't know. Just a lot of quality of life improvements, I would say.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Loading times are amazing now.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was just the thing that I had noticed. But no, it seems like they actually have improved the load times, which is good because it was like, what, 30, 35 seconds per match at
one Yeah, time? Well, I will say it did. When I first started the game, the load times did take a little bit at first.
Yeah.
That was the first couple of matches. After that, it sped back up. So I guess it was just, I don't know.
You're going to pre-buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think the way that the versus screen comes in is actually hiding a little bit of that loading. So
yeah.
Yeah. Bear that in mind. All in all, though, I think it was a pretty nice presentation overhaul. It was well needed. Definitely makes it look like a new game, that's for sure. Another thing that they added was the extra battle, which I have some beef with. I don't like having to spend my fight money to do things like that.
Yeah.
I'm not cool with that.
Especially per play.
Especially per play and the fact that you don't end up getting any fight money rewards in return.
So some of them are going to have fight money rewards.
Yeah. Well, the current one doesn't seem to right now.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, the current two.
Yeah. Well, it's one of them. Yeah. So that's the extra battle. Anything else you want to talk about? There were training mode improvements in there.
Oh, yeah. The frame advantage feature is huge.
Hmm.
You're going to be able to experiment very clearly with what's safe, what's unsafe, without really having to fine-tune anything. So that's a huge quality of life improvement. I think it's going to help players become more conscious of frame data. In terms that they can, in terms that won't overwhelm them.
Yeah.
Right.
So you want to talk, we want to speak a little bit about any of the character changes, because there were a lot of them. I don't find that any of them have really made things worse. Certainly, some of the characters play a little bit differently than they did before, but...
That was kind of Capcom's MO going into this, was that they weren't really attacking the balance as we knew it so much as they were attacking the meta.
Yeah.
It wasn't a complete mission accomplished for what they were setting out to do. I think there's still a lot of really easy... fast read anti-airs that shouldn't be there, but I do think it is the shakeup that the game needed, and at the very least they seem to have gotten rid of the whole you can lose a round just by blocking a jump in that vanilla had. So we'll see where it goes, but I think we're headed to a pretty good place as far as the balance is concerned.
Yes. Then, do we want to say anything else about Street Fighter V, or
buy it?
Buy it. It's good now. Well, it was always good. Now
it was always good. Now it's just it's more palatable for the mass market.
Yeah, and it's cheap.
It's not the Super Turbo Third Strike game that may have been needed, or that we're hoping that it's working its way toward, but. We're definitely right around the hyper fighting point in its lifespan, and that's a pretty good point.
Yeah. And, don't forget, this is only, I think, a year into Street Fighter V.
So two.
Second year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And hyper fighting itself was second year, so...
Yep. Late second year.
Yeah, so right on pace, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun ride from here.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. I guess we'll get to our picks of the week. And, my pick this week is Buckley's Cough Syrup, without which this podcast
probably
would
sound
a lot
worse.
Yeah. It tastes awful, and it works. That's not only a tagline, it's actually true. So there's that. This is a very Canadian thing, by the way, so it's very likely that if you're in the U.S., you've never heard of this.
Yeah, I have a feeling the FDA would take one look at this stuff and say, nope.
I don't know. But you can get it on Amazon. So, yay, I guess. I don't know why you'd want to, but, you know. Well, you'd want to if you were suffering from a cough and nothing else was working, because this shit just works. So, yeah, how about you, Pat?
I'm going to cop out this week and plug the World Warriors forums. We're starting to get a little bit of presence there. We've got the forums open for a lot of Street Fighter games and now Vampire Savior as well. So if you enjoy Street Fighter and or Vampire Savior, there's definitely a place for you to post there. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to grow the community some before the proper site launch this spring. So look into that. And that's what I've got.
Okay. I guess, Danrib, you'll close us out for this week.
I think he closed himself out when he blew up on the mic.
Yeah. But basically, his was the Best Buy Gamer Club Unlock. So,
which I can agree with, because it's a very good deal.
Yeah.
Gives you, discounts on new games and, you know, rewards for buying multiples. It's a good thing to be a part of if you buy a lot of new games. So go over to Best Buy, sign up for that, and check that out.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess if we're pretty much done for the week, guys.
Yeah.
So I'd like to remind everybody that you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite RSS reader. You can check us out also at smashpad.com, where we've recently just put up our top 10 most anticipated games of 2018. So check that out. Some of the picks in there may surprise you. So with that, I am Filippo Genolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brian Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Denver Victoria.
Who finally shows up.
Made it.
See you next week.